You are listening to RotoViz Radio, a fantasy football podcast, with your host, Matthew Friedman.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle of the Action Network in RotoViz. Welcome to a special edition of RotoViz Radio. Today we are talking about the New York Jets. In between the NFL Combine and the draft, I am interviewing beat reporters for every franchise, 32 teams, 32 beat reporters, and 32 episodes. We are covering team needs, free agency, draft rumors, basically everything between now and day one of the draft. For this episode, I'm joined by Daryl Slater of NJ Advanced Media. He's a Jets beat writer for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. In this episode, he talks with us about the Jets' plans at the quarterback position, the players they might pursue in free agency, and how they should go about revamping the offense. Before we get to the guest, I would like to remind you that you can get a listeners only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the premium NFL content at the site, and your subscription also supports the pod. All right, let's get to the guest. Please welcome to the show Daryl Slater of NJ Advanced Media. You can follow him on Twitter at Daryl Slater, where he provides up-to-the-minute news on anything and everything to do with the New York Jets. Daryl, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's jump into it. We're recording this on Tuesday. Yesterday, the Combine ended. A lot of interesting players there, a lot of great quarterbacks, but maybe the quarterback everyone is focused on right now is Kirk Cousins. You recently wrote about why the Vikings might be a better fit for him than the Jets. Assuming that the Jets don't sign him, which quarterback do you think the Jets would maybe want to take in the first round?
Well, I mean, that depends on a lot of things, you know, because obviously it depends on who's able to get Kirk Cousins. If it's the Vikings, then that means that all the teams ahead of the Jets who are quarterback needy right now will remain quarterback needy. So you're talking about, of course, the Giants at number two, the Browns at 1 and 4, and the Broncos at 5. So the Jets might have to look into a situation there where they might want to trade up to the third pick with the Colts. But I think Baker Mayfield would be a very good fit for the Jets, and he could certainly be a guy that would be available at number 6 if the Jets did not want to give up anything in order to trade up. I think he'd do fine in New York. I think he's a very good player. He's accurate. And, that's one of the concerns about Josh Allen from Wyoming is the accuracy. And if you can fix that in the NFL, and the Jets have not been able to do that with Christian Hackenberg. So I think if the Jets stay at 6, Allen would be a very good option for them. And, you know, moving up to, say, number 3, that would obviously put a lot more guys on the table for them, a couple more at least, right? So maybe they could get, if they wanted Josh Allen there or Josh Rosen, they could do that at 3. But, you know, if they stay at 6 and they don't get Cousins, I'd like Mayfield.
Yeah, it's interesting. In terms of just the organizational philosophy, do you think that there's the drive to move up to number 3 if they see a guy and they really want him? Or do you think that they would maybe hope that they get more value, one of the guys falls to them at number 6?
Well, I think Mike Maccagnan analyzes all this very closely, obviously, because you look at so is there a big difference between guy number 1 and guy number 4? So if obviously the best quarterback is – say Sam Darnold, right? And then you have, in no particular order, Allen, Rosen, Mayfield. What's the difference between those? Is it worth the difference in order to trade up? And I think that's what Mike Maccagnan is going to have to look at. I don't think there's an enormous difference. I think Darnold is the best quarterback. It's not a huge margin between him and the rest. And then the other guys, Rosen, Allen, and Mayfield, I don't think they're one is head and shoulders above the rest. So I don't necessarily think it would be worth it to trade up per se. So, but if you look at the organizational philosophy in terms of just whether Mike Maccagnan wants to blow draft picks or acquire them, as a rebuilding team, he said multiple times that it's better to have more shots in the draft if you want to rebuild through the draft. So that's why I hesitate to think that he would be willing to give up premium draft picks in order to move from 6 to, say, 3. But yeah, I guess you never know. In terms of their philosophy and what they like, they've typically taken bigger quarterbacks, which obviously Mayfield is not that. But I think, you know, they will like his accuracy, which is something that they were not able to fix with Christian Hackenberg. And I think they probably perhaps have learned their lesson as they assess Allen, although Allen did look pretty accurate at the combine.
Interesting. Great stuff there. So there's obviously a difference between drafting a quarterback with a top six pick and starting him right away as a rookie. Do you think that the Jets would consider using a veteran as a bridge quarterback to let their rookie sit on the bench for a year and develop? And do you think that guy might be Josh McCown, who had a surprisingly, you know, I think pretty productive season for the Jets last year, when many people would have thought that maybe he wouldn't have lasted the whole season?
Yeah, he did. He didn't last the whole season, but he hurt his hand in Denver, but he lasted basically the whole season. When he was playing pretty well. You're right. And so I think if the Jets are do draft a quarterback, then I think McCown comes back as the quote unquote mentor slash backup. And he might not even be the backup, as you alluded to. I don't know if they would sit the rookie the entire season. Although I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I know people are chomp at the bit for that guy to play as a rookie. Why? I mean, like, why would you put a guy out there if he's not, if it's going to screw up his development or whatever? But I say the Jets draft Baker Mayfield or a quarterback. I think there's a very good chance Josh McCown comes back as the mentor slash backup. And I think there's a very good chance in that case that McCown is starting in week one. They're not going to throw a guy out there in week one. He's not ready just because the fans want them to. So I think that would be a productive route to take if you draft a quarterback. You know, don't try to force him out there week one just to say he started week one. I mean, look at Jared Goff. I mean, he took some time to develop. These guys take time to develop. It doesn't happen immediately. So I think that would be a reasonable approach to go with. Obviously, their first preference is Cousins, and we'll see how that shakes out here in the next week or so.
Well, speaking of Cousins, it presumably will take a lot of money to get him, and the Jets do have the second most cap space in the league heading into free agency. Who are some of the players maybe outside of Cousins that you think the Jets are likely to pursue in the coming weeks?
Well, they need some help at cornerback, and they don't have a number one receiver. So in terms of cornerbacks, you're looking at guys like Tremaine Johnson, Malcolm Butler, Kyle Fuller. Those would be the biggest name guys. Maybe Patrick Robinson is a second tier guy, or Davon House from the Packers. In terms of the receiver position, Allen Robinson is a really intriguing option from Jacksonville. It looks like he'll become available. He would be a fantastic addition to the Jets. They have Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. Neither of those guys are true number one receivers, and if they get a quarterback that, you know, they want to be able to tell the quarterback, whoever it is, well, really, if it's Cousins or a free agent, because the draft pick has no choice, he has to play for them, they want to be able to tell that guy, look, you know, we have some weapons to build around with you, because the Jets currently don't have a lot of weapons offensively, and signing Kirk Cousins alone would not fix their offense. They need to do other things.
So there's obviously the free agents that they could pursue, and then they have their own free agents, Austin Seferian Jenkins, who at least started out this season in a pretty efficient manner before tailing off a little bit, Morris Claiborne. What are your thoughts on those guys? Do you think the Jets will pursue them?
Yeah, Seferian Jenkins is an all right enough player. I think they could do better potentially in the draft if they draft a tight end, or if they go out and sign somebody. I think he's worth retaining at the right price, and that being the key phrase there, at the right price. Morris Claiborne, I think the Jets really should do everything they can to bring him back. I know the injuries are kind of a red flag with him, even though he stayed healthy, excuse me, for the most part last year. He has a history of injuries, so that makes you wonder how much they want to invest in him long term. But if they're not able to re-sign Claiborne, they're potentially going to have to start over at cornerback, because Buster Skrine is not a number one cornerback. So those are the two of the prominent guys. DeMario Davis, their middle linebacker, but we'll see what he gets on the open market in terms of offers. I get the sense that he is wanting a little bit more than teams are willing than the Jets at least are willing to give him. So those would be the most prominent in-house free agents besides McCown for the Jets: Seferian Jenkins, Claiborne, and DeMario Davis. So I don't think they would all leave in free agency, but I think there's a good chance. They lose Davis, which in that case they'd have to address the middle linebacker spot.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Robbie Anderson earlier, and as someone who maybe isn't viewed as a number one receiver, and then of course there are the legal issues. I believe this is the second season in which second offseason in which he's had some legal issues. How do you think that the team is viewing him moving forward?
They're sticking by him. I mean, if they were going to release him, they would have done it already. You know, as an undrafted guy, he is doesn't have a massive cap hit or anything like that, so it wouldn't cause major cap ramifications if the Jets were to release him. So they're sticking by him through his, like you said, he was arrested last May, arrested again in January. He's got a total of 4 felonies hanging over his head. Not good. But the Jets are going to let this play out and see how it goes. He's likely facing some kind of suspension once this all shakes itself out. But they view him as a guy who can develop and get better and has a lot of potential. And obviously in the NFL, if you can play, you get afforded a lot of second and third chances. And that's where the Jets are with Robbie Anderson. You know, I don't know if he'll ever become a number one receiver, but he's a pretty solid player. And the Jets aren't willing to give up on him just yet.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier the idea that in free agency, they might pursue wide receivers. Robbie Anderson might miss some time with suspensions. So I think that raises the question in terms of the draft. Do you think that there are any wide receivers that the Jets might pursue maybe in the middle rounds or, say, on the second day, rounds 2 and 3?
Could be. Look, they drafted 2 guys last year in round 3 and 4, Ardarius Stewart and Chad Hansen. Neither of those guys had a great rookie year, but, you know, Mike Maccagnan's not one to give up on a guy after just 1 year. So I don't necessarily think the Jets will. They draft a receiver. They could, I think. But, the thing is, they don't need another young guy in there. They need a proven number one receiver. They need to go out and make a run at Allen Robinson in free agency. They don't need another third round pick or fourth round pick who might be good, you know, like an Ardarius Stewart or a Chad Hansen, or might never be anything. They need a guy who is proven. They have the cap space to go get that kind of player. And I think they'll do all they can to make a run at, to make a run at Allen Robinson, even if it means quote unquote overpaying, which is really how free agency works. You know, you end up having to pay more for guys based on their demand than maybe they're actually worth.
A follow-up question there on the 2 second-year receivers, Stewart and Hansen. Have you heard anything about how the team is viewing their potential development last year going into this year?
They like those guys, but they like Hansen as a deep threat potential guy, and then Stewart in the slot. But now, a lot of some of the problems that the Jets had on offense last year in terms of even getting the ball to those guys or establishing the run game, it seems John Morton, now former coordinator, really wasn't on the same page as their coaches and Todd Bowles. So it'll be interesting to see how Jeremy Bates, the new coordinator, who's still the quarterback's coach, will handle things with incorporating those guys in more consistently and coming up with a more consistent and coherent plan. So I think, you know, you have to look at that. But after Jeremy Curley got suspended last season, it would have seemed that Stewart and Hansen could have had a lot more opportunities to contribute. It just never happened for them. But chalk it up to a sluggish rookie year, and this is a year where both those guys need to produce a lot more.
All right, sticking with that offensive side of the ball, Matt Forte, within the last week or so, has retired. Of course, there is Elijah McGuire there, Bilal Powell, who is, I believe at this point, 30 or close to 30. Is there any sense about what the team might do at the running back position and whether they might address it in the upcoming draft?
Yeah, they need to do something because they don't have a number one running back. This kind of gets back to, you look at every position across the offense and they have issues there, whether it's the line, receiver, quarterback, running back. Forte was no longer a number one running back, but Powell and McGuire are not that either. So what do they do? It looks like Le'Veon Bell's not going to be available in free agency. Will the Jets draft a guy? Yeah, a fascinating possibility, and that it seems dimmer and dimmer now after the combine, would be, say, if the Jets were able to sign Kirk Cousins, could they trade up to maybe like number 3 or whatever to get Saquon Barkley? It seems unlikely. He could go first or second overall at this point. So He had a fantastic combine. So I don't think that's a possibility. I think the Jets could get a guy like Ronald Jones in the second round from USC. He might be an option for them. So yeah, I think there's a chance they could draft a running back high. They got McGuire in the sixth round last year, but you know, maybe he just is what he is, which is a very good sixth round pick, but not a number one back. They need a number one back to build their offense around. And one thing last year with Morton is he really didn't commit enough to the run game. And Todd Bowles wants to do that more this year, especially if he has a rookie quarterback. You know, you can't just set that guy back there and say throw, throw, throw. So that'll be interesting to see what they do there. But I think there's a good chance they'll draft a running back in the middle rounds.
Well, everything with the passing game and the running game can be improved if the offensive line is improved. You recently wrote a piece for NJ.com about how to go about upgrading the offensive line. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it became pretty clear last season that Wesley Johnson was not the answer for the Jets at the center position after, Nick Mangold basically retired, but the Jets cut him. And the Jets had, they had some all right things from Brandon Shell at right tackle and Kelvin Beachum at left tackle, but James Carpenter, the left guard, he's entering the final year of his contract here coming up. And he wasn't as good last year as he was in previous years. Maybe the Jets draft Quentin Nelson at number six if they're able to sign Cousins, Nelson being the guard from Notre Dame. And that would let them cut Carpenter. Nelson has historically been a left guard, so I think he would be a fantastic addition to their line. They need a center, Ryan Jensen, maybe Weston Richburg in free agency, Billy Price an option in the draft. But, of course, Price had the partial tear of his pec at the combine, and so you wonder when he's going to be ready to play. But yeah, the Jets need Wesley Johnson is not their answer at center, and you get a really good center, as the Jets saw with Mangold, and that goes a long way toward helping your line be productive.
Well, you actually had the Jets in a recent mock draft of yours drafting Billy Price, the center, in the second round, and then Malik Jefferson in the second round. Are there any other players you think the Jets would consider drafting in that range?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of possibilities there. I mean, you mentioned Ronald Jones, the running back, could be there. I don't know if Darius Geis from LSU, the other running back, will fall that far. Maybe Mark Andrews, the tight end from Oklahoma, if the Jets aren't able to re-sign Austin Safarian Jenkins. It's tough to tell once you get past the first round. Will a guy fall to the third round, or will it be a second round? Will he be in the second round? But the issue for the Jets, not issue, but the benefit for the Jets is that they have two second round picks because they got that other one in the trade with the Seahawks. So that's some trade ammo if the Jets want to move up. And if they don't, then they get another shot, obviously, in the second round. Also, Mike Maccagnan, as I mentioned, is always willing to acquire more draft picks. And if the Jets get Kirk Cousins and they decide they want to trade out of number six, they could do that. They could get more draft picks by trading back and get maybe a third rounder or something like that. They got right now four picks in the top 72, and they could potentially add to that in a trade back scenario.
All right, let's look just a little bit at the defensive side of the ball. Coming out of the combine, were there any players, maybe day two type of players, middle round players, who intrigued you and you thought like, wow, I could see that guy in a Jets uniform. He could fit well into what they're looking to do.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean, Jari Alexander, I might be pronouncing his first name wrong. The kid from Louisville, the cornerback, tested very, very well. He blazed through his 40 at the combine on Monday. He did a really nice job there in Indianapolis. So maybe he's put himself in the day one conversation, late first round or something like that. But if he's available for the Jets in the middle of the rounds, maybe that second round pick or the third round pick, he'd be a great value there if they have a need, a cornerback that they hadn't filled in free agency. So he's one guy who helped himself perform really well at the combine. Dante Jackson, the cornerback from Louisville, LSU, ran really fast. So those are a couple of guys who could potentially be options for the Jets on the defensive side of the ball there. You look at outside linebacker, edge rusher, the Jets need some help there. Marcus Davenport is a kid from Texas San Antonio who hasn't played against top-notch competition, but could be a edge rusher option for the Jets. They haven't gotten enough production from that spot in recent years. So yeah, those are, you know, those are some guys that'll be interesting to see what the Jets do, because we talked about how sluggish their offense has been. It's not like their defense was great last year either. I mean, they were like 18th in the DVOA rankings by Football Outsiders, very much middle of the league. They haven't been good defensively since Todd Bowles' first year. Haven't been, you know, they've been average at best and pretty terrible at worst in 16 and 17. So the for as much as their offense needs to get its stuff together, I think Bowles realized his defense has a little way to go here too as well.
All right, final question here. You mentioned Jeremy Bates, quarterback coach, now offensive coordinator. Is there any sense in terms of how he intends to run the offense and how it will differ from what we saw last year?
Yeah, I think there'll be some carryover, at least from what John Morton did in the West Coast style offense with the Jets last year. But I think one thing you'll see quite a bit of is a Mike Shanahan influence with Jeremy Bates and also Rick Dennison, the offensive or the run game coordinator, former OC in Buffalo. He's the offensive line coach and run game coordinator. Bates, the quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator. So one basically runs the pass game, one runs the running game. Both those guys from 06 to 08 worked under Mike Shanahan in Denver. And then in 08, they kind of teamed up to call the plays there. So I think, you know, that'll be a kind of a similar situation here with the Jets where they're teaming up to run this offense. And so I think you'll see some of that Shanahan influence in the offensive approach. And that's interesting because, of course, Kirk Cousins was drafted by Mike Shanahan in Washington, really likes that offense. Of course, Shanahan was gone by the time Cousins became the full-time starter and was flourishing in Washington. So it's been a little while since he's played, you know, under Mike Shanahan per se. So the Jets will, you know, surely use that familiarity to try to entice Cousins. It'll be interesting to see if it works. I think ultimately the two things that matter most or should matter most for Cousins are can he win and you know, how much money can he make? And you can't blame a guy for wanting to maximize his value. And certainly the Jets are probably the team in position to give him the most money, at least up front in the contract. But you know, you have to wonder if they might be a year or two or three away from being competitive. And by that time, you're looking at a quarterback who's approaching 32, 33 years old. So that's why I think the Vikings are a better destination for him. It doesn't mean he will sign there, and it doesn't mean the Vikings can offer him the most money. But I think when you look at the totality of it, the Vikings are his best destination if they can come close to the Jets' offer. But that certainly doesn't mean he won't roll the dice and take a chance on the Jets.
I know I said that last one was the final question, but I have one more. This one will actually be the final question. Kirk Cousins, do you think that, one, the Jets will actually make that huge offer to try to get him? And then do you think that actually would be enough to get him?
Yes, I think they will make an enormous offer to try to get him. I think they'll do everything they can to try to get him, as well they should. I mean, they're a team in desperate need of a quarterback. So they're going to do desperate things, which is offer that type of money to a quarterback who is, you know, very good but not great. So the Jets will and should do exactly that. They have the money to spend. They need to do it. He's the most proven option out there right now. And there's no Andrew Luck types in this draft, sure thing type quarterback. So, the Jets have to go all in on Kirk Cousins. Will it be enough? I think there's a chance. Sure. I think there's a chance he could go and, you know, like I said, take a chance on the Jets, because that's what it would be. I mean, obviously he would be making a ton of money, but would he be able to win? That's ultimately what he wants, or that's at least what he said he wants to do. So I think the Jets are a couple years away, even if they do sign Cousins. So, again, that's why I think Minnesota is the best destination for him. But, you know, I wouldn't rule the Jets out just because they have so much ammo in terms of the money, and you know, that's a pretty powerful carrot for a lot of players, you know, and a lot of people in general. It's totally understandable.
All right, well, one way or another, we are going to find out soon exactly where Kirk Cousins land. Daryl, this was fantastic. Thanks for your insight, and we hope to talk with you again as we get closer to the season.
Sure, thanks for having me.
We just finished speaking with Daryl Slater, a Jets beat writer for NJ Advanced Media. We covered a lot. Here are some of the items we discussed that I would like to think about further. First, the Jets quarterback situation. It looks like they really are all in on the possibility of getting Kirk Cousins. As Daryl mentioned, they have the salary cap space to make a Godfather type of offer. It's just a question as to whether he wants to be with that team, because they are not anywhere close to being a winning organization. Even if they sign him, they have so many more pieces. And ironically, if they spend what it takes to get him there, that really might hinder their ability moving forward to construct the type of team around him, especially in the AFC East, competing with the Patriots two times a year, a team that is capable of actually making the playoffs and maybe even contending for a championship. So it might be one of those situations where you have to be careful what you wish for if you're the Jets. They might want Kirk Cousins, but in reality, the worst thing could be that maybe they actually get him. But if they don't get him, what do they do? We didn't mention Case Keenum or AJ McCarron. You know, one of those guys might be an option as a potential bridge quarterback. I don't know if that would be, very exciting for the franchise or the fans. So really, at that point, you're looking at the quarterbacks in the draft. The Jets sitting there at sixth, I think they are very likely to get one of the four top quarterbacks in the draft there. And people are also discounting Lamar Jackson. For some people, he might be a top four quarterback, and Josh Allen might be the fifth quarterback. That's the case for the rankings that I have at Action Network. But I would expect that Josh Allen would be drafted before pick number six. But I think it's very possible that out of the four quarterbacks at the top, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Mayfield, one of them would fall to the Jets at number six. So then it's a question as to whether the Jets view all of them fairly equally and are fine with the quote-unquote value of getting the last quarterback in that tier that falls to them. Kind of from a fantasy football perspective, that would be the ideal scenario, that you get a player within a tier and you get the last player in the tier and you don't have to reach for him. Obviously, that might not be optimal from a real life football perspective, because they want someone who could conceivably fit in their system. But it's just a question as to whether they are fine staying at six and getting the guy who falls to them, or whether they actually develop pretty strong opinions on these quarterbacks and they feel that they want to have one of them, they must have one of them, and they have to move up in the draft to get him. If they do that, they obviously will have to give up some draft capital to make that move. I don't know if that is necessarily the smart thing to do, considering that they have so many holes on this team. And they need as much draft capital as possible to address all of those positions. Which I think probably leads to the second thing to talk about, how naked this roster is. In the conversation with Daryl, it was almost like, well, even talking about free agency or in the draft, well, they need this position, this position, this position. It's almost like you could just look at the whole roster and say like, well, yep, they need a player at that position. And that's basically every position on the team. Ian Harditz at the Action Network, at Fantasy Labs, a part of the Action Network, has written a team needs article for the Jets. And obviously at the top, it's quarterback. And then after that, it's almost like you could pick the position, right? They need defensive end, but they also need pass catchers. It's not just wide receivers, it's tight end. Powell is good out of the backfield as a pass catcher, and McGuire was good in college as a pass catcher. Forte was good in his career as a pass catcher, but Powell is older. Forte is gone. McGuire is an unproven guy, and you don't really want to rely on like a running back out of the backfield as like one of your premier pass catchers anyway. So outside of the quarterback position, this team still needs so much. And I think just remember, a year ago, people were talking about this as an 0-16 team. And so on the one hand, it looks bad that they have the number six pick. Like, in order to quote unquote earn that pick, they had to be a bad team, but they actually probably overperformed relative to the talent that they have on the roster. And so they're not really getting even the full benefit of having a bad season, and that they probably should have better draft position now than they do have. So they can't even address the roster as completely as they should. But let's look specifically at the pass catchers and the receiving unit there. Daryl mentioned the possibility of maybe them adding Allen Robinson. Honestly, I think even though they addressed, well, one, I don't know if Allen Robinson would want to go there given the quarterback situation. So maybe if they sign Kirk Cousins, that would entice Allen Robinson. But then at that point, I don't know if they even have enough money to sign Allen Robinson. So I think they probably will have to, if they want to continue to build the receiving unit, and I think they should, they probably will need to address it again in the draft, even though last year in the third and fourth round, they got Ardarius Stewart and Chad Hansen. So I think they will continue to address the position. Robbie Anderson, who knows what is going on there. Quincy Enunwa is a restricted free agent. So he will be coming back from his season-ending neck injury, presumably coming back. We really don't even know yet what's happening with him. Jermaine Kearse is coming off a career best season, but we don't really know what their plans are for him long term. I don't think he's the guy that you really want leading the receiving unit. So I think they will probably continue to address the wide receivers. The same thing with tight ends. Who knows what is going to happen with Austin Seferian Jenkins. So I think at some point in the draft, they will need to invest some capital in the pass catching unit, especially I think if they go with a quarterback in the first round. I'm thinking a little bit of what the Colts did when they drafted Andrew Luck. The first thing they did, they drafted T.Y. Hilton. They drafted multiple tight ends for him. They drafted pass catchers to support him. And I think if the Jets are to go with a quarterback high in the draft, it would make sense, especially with the dearth of options that they have at receivers to address the pass catching unit. But of course, they need cornerback. They need interior offensive line. They need so much help all over the place. So ultimately, it might make sense for them to trade down where possible and to accumulate draft picks and to try to build just through kind of more of a shotgun approach where they just get more picks and take more shots at the positions they need. And hopefully some of those picks will pan out. That's going to do it for this Jets-focused special edition of RotoViz Radio. Be sure to check out the episodes for all the other teams on RotoViz and the podcast feed. I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this special edition of RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Special thanks to Hassan Rahim, the producer for this episode, and to Colm Kelly, the assistant executive producer for the podcast channel. Please review the show on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.